Welcome to the Wealth Building Made Simple podcast with Philip Washington Jr. Today's episode is brought to you by StonehillWealthManagement.com. Today, Philip talks about nerd math. Philip Washington Jr. is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. And now, here's Philip.
We are back with another episode of Wealth Building Made Simple. If I sound a little nasally, it's this Texas weather where it went from springtime to, I don't know, fall to April rain in the fall, in the summer, in like 48 hours. So my body's like, bro, what the kids say, bruh, help me out. So anyway, this is brought to you by Stonehill Wealth Management, where we help clients guide their money from here to the future, and Wealth Building Made Simple, where I share my thoughts on everything going on in the world in a clear and concise way to help you know how to guide your money where you want it to go. That actually sounded really good. I should like write these down because I say it different every single time. And I feel like they're all pretty good. Or maybe I should just keep freestyling it, right? I love freestyle hip-hop artists off the top of the dome, right? In my former life, I would have been a freestyle king out of Houston, Texas. I'm still going to get my grill one day. But I digress. It's time to talk. I mentioned on a previous podcast and some previous posts, nerd math, right? And let me clarify for the nerds, right? Because me, you know, when I say nerd, I don't mean smart, right? Because I was in GT classes my whole life. I graduated from honors college. I'm a pretty intelligent person. I would never consider myself a nerd because what a nerd is somebody who does not balance their head with their heart. They're all head, right? What the old folks say, all head, no ass, right? They make all their decisions with their head without the heart. So when I say nerd math, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that don't factor in feelings into the equation, and so you get an unbalanced solution, right? So we're talking about nerd math, right? And nerd math is the bane or the foundation of like a lot of the problems that crumble things in the system. But let's talk about it, right? What is the definition of nerd math? It's attempting to replace the work of imagination or the creative mind with predictive math. In a different way, it's trying to control perceived chaos, right? That's what nerd math does. So nerd math comes from the reason part of the mind, right? What does data, statistics, and nerd math do a really good job of? Observation, right? It appeals to the reason mind, right? The reason mind is the observer in us. It's the part of the mind that competes, that measures, that analyzes, right? That is the focal point for our five senses so that we can look at things and make them appear separate and make distinctions. But that's the reason mind. And the imagination is the creative mind, right? The imagination is what creates, right? It's the feeling mind, right? The imagination is what also like connects us all, but that's a whole conversation. But the reason mind wants to be the creator, right? It's like the eternal battle that when you look at all these different stories in religion, it's all the religions have it, you know. In the Christian world, it's the Cain versus Abel deal, where I like to change the story, right? So in this story, you know, they both wanted to bring God an offering, right? And there are two brothers, and at least what I not even going to spirituality, right? Forget about reading the Bible from a spiritual standpoint. Just read it from what these teachers were teaching us, right? In the Bible, God is like the equivalent of like imagination or like the creator, right? The energy behind what creates new things, new life that has never been before. And so Cain tried to give a offering to God with statistics, right? Cain said, let me do some nerd math. Let me look at the way things have always been. Let me crunch numbers up and let me like predict the future and give you the data so that you can create this future. And God was like, man, get that out of my face. That's not how we create. Like, that's the past data. It's not an indicator of future performance, right? And then Abel, right? Abel said, hey, I understand in order to use the imaginative mind, I have to feel something into being, right? So I let my feelings guide me to some solution that's never been before. So, you know, Abel said, hey, I love beauty, right? And I want to create this beautiful future. And so I'm going to feel it to be true. And I'm going to feel it. I'm going to give that feeling to you, imagination, and I'm going to let you create this new future, right? And that pleased God, right? That's what the ancient writers of, because a lot of this stuff is like the, you want to study like Eastern religion, because at that time that was like it was sort of like the middle of the world, and the Eastern philosophy, you want to understand their mindsets and their symbols and how they communicated things. And when you go deep on that, you understand the symbols and what they mean, and that's what they were talking about. They were talking about the imaginative mind, which responds to feeling, right? And so that's why God or imagination was pleased with Abel and not with Cain, and it made Cain jealous, and so Cain killed Abel, right? And so this is the and you see it play out in all kinds of stories, right? So the nerd math wants to be the creator, right? And the nerd I may have time to get to this because I'm watching this show called The Last Avatar, and it has the same sort of scenario. It's pretty cool. But I'll come back to that. Let me go back to another example of like nerd way of thinking felon, right? I call it like, I was reading this. What was it? I was looking at different ways to make money. And there's like these online people that were marketing how to help nerds find love, right? They have these courses on how to find all these nerds, like computer geeks, right? I'm saying it in a passionate way, but it was like, you know, people, they were, instead of helping the computer nerds like learn how to balance their head with their heart, they were like giving them courses on teaching them like women like the data says women like this. So if you do this and you do that and you spin like this on the robot, then like you're going to get a woman. And I'm like, who's paying for these courses? And I'm like, there's engineers making $300,000 a year that struggle with finding a woman. So this is why this person's making like millions of dollars a year, because it's like the dating apps. You know what I'm saying? There's always going to be a market for somebody who doesn't balance their head with their heart, and they're trying to approach it with just their head, because like there is no solution. There's no head solution to anything, right? A head solution creates more questions and more problems, and it's a never ending cycle. But they were trying to give them some sort of algorithm of how to act to be cool to attract a mate. And I'm like, nah, like you may get a, like if you make money and you're a nerd and you got money, and you like, you might get a mate that's with you for your money or your exterior or how you act. But like the love is not going to be there unless it's internal. Like you can't act cool. It's just a being. You have to be cool, right? And that comes from feeling. You know what I mean? Same with wealth. Again, the level of people that I meet that accumulate wealth versus attract wealth. When you accumulate wealth, you're like storing it up, right? It's that same reason mindset, because reason is the mindset that sends us to war. Reason is the mindset that wants to possess things, right? It, instead of attract things, right? So it's possessing, accumulating, but that's an unquenchable desire, right? You cannot quench accumulation, because if you're thinking with a reason mind, it's always analyzing, always measuring, always competing, right? You may say, oh man, I have, right? Like with that mind, you can never define wealth because like, what is wealth? Well, if you got $1 million and then your friend has 10 million, right? Now you need 10 million to feel wealthy, right? And then when you get 10 million and you got a, you know, your friend now that you hang with has 100 million, right? Now you need 100 million to feel wealthy. When in reality, right, the Native Americans that lived here before this heavy reason mind thinking came to America, like they lived on the land and they felt abundance and wealth and plenty, right? Because like everything they needed was there. Like if you look at humans, there's 8 billion people. The amount of land that we have is like unlimited, relatively unlimited. The amount of food that we have is relatively unlimited. The amount of energy sources that we have is relatively unlimited, right? Like we have plenty, we always have plenty, we always will have plenty, right? The problem is nerd math, right? We think with the reason mind and we say, oh, but I want what this person has, right? You know, instead of letting what you want be inspired from within, right? Saying, hey, I'm good, right? I have what I have and it's always going to expand, right? I'm always going to expand what I have, but I'm good with what I have now so I can attract what is meant for me, right? This also, this is important for investing, right? I'm not just saying this as a philosophical way of being, right? Although it definitely is a way to maintain happiness and be the way you want to be versus trying to act the way you want to be. But it helps you see opportunities because nerd math is not creative, right? You can only look at data and then project that out to try to find an opportunity. So nerd math is why you have areas of town today in DFW. You have this massive amount of money and people who want to develop and they want to make some money, but they got these nerds that run data and they just look at the data and they go, well, the data says this area can't support that. And have you been there? Right. I know, I won't mention cities and I won't mention specific franchises, but I know of a franchise that didn't want to go to an area that was heavily black, because the nerds that ran the data said black people don't eat salads. You know what I mean? But what they don't understand is they don't know the difference between me. I experience it. Like I'm like, look how I'm dressed. Right. You're not going to find me in a stat. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm in most rooms, I'm one of the most intelligent people in the room. Right. And I'm not saying that to put my, I'm just saying like, I'm giving you that perspective. I'm also a wealth manager. I understand money, but I never look it. So you're not going to find me in a stat. And so I go into establishments where I get treated the way that I look based on their past data. Right. You know what I mean? It's called bias. That's what past data does. It creates biases. So you got a city with a lot of folks that are similar to my demographic, but they make money, right? And so this franchise didn't want to put a place there because they were like, these people won't eat that, right? They won't eat salads. Bro, you clearly don't understand my demographic. You're looking at past data, nerd. You know what I mean? But the level of people that are going to make money, like in order to know, you got to be amongst the people and you got to feel it and you got to have conversations and you got to understand preferences and you got to do real connective work, right? Imaginative work. That's why I say imagination connects us all. You have to be there. You got to feel it. And the amount of money that's going to be made from people who are artists or who can feel or who use creative imagination over the next 100 years is going to be a lot because you got a bunch of nerds with the money. You know what I mean? But you got creative entrepreneurs who are going to feel it, create solutions, and then the nerds are going to come and those, because like once the data shows that it's safe, once we made a bunch of money, then it's going to get crazy, right? And so like it's happening, right? Another example is Bitcoin mining, right? Huge opportunity because A, the majority of the nerds are saying digital, there's maybe less today, right? But the nerds were saying, we're never going to have digital money. Why? Because we never had digital money, right? And so they're becoming aware of it. And then now the nerds are saying, Bitcoin, the math shows Bitcoin mining is going to waste all this energy. okay, nerd, you're looking at the math completely wrong, right? For lots of reasons that I want to address in this topic, but that's not right. So, and then, right? I'm going to give a specific example because this is what's going to happen. Because you got creative minds that are going to town right now and that are creating solutions to help with the energy grid. And I'm gonna play this out for you, and I'm gonna help you with the imaginative part of about it, and then watch it play out, right? Because this is not this right here is not like a hypothesis. This is actually happening. $300 million investment in Corsicana, Texas, right now by a Bitcoin mining operation, right? That I own the stock of. But let's say you got town A, right? You got town A. And if you have ever gotten to develop or learn about development, right, energy is a big input in development. But you say, let's say you got town A and it has 100,000 people in it and it's growing, right? And the energy costs, they say, okay, if you study energy, the reason why you have energy outages and energy problems is because of capacity, right? Like you want to build for capacity. And if you overbuild or you buy a contract that as it costs a lot, right, then you got to spread that contract out amongst all the people. And so it makes energy relatively expensive if you don't have a lot of people. So it's like if you want to build for growth, it's sort of a delicate balance, right, because you don't want to buy too much, but you don't want to restrict the growth, right? So that's sort of a challenge. So let's say you got a town A with 100,000 people and the energy cost for those 100,000 people, let's say you can buy energy where maybe it costs $5 million to cover the energy cost for those 100,000 people, but you want to buy for capacity so that you don't have energy down in high energy times and you have some room for growth, right? If you get a big spike in growth. So let's say you say, all right, we're going to spend $10 million on energy, right? So that means it's roughly $100 a person for the energy cost. Now let's go to town B, where town B has 100,001 energy buyers in it, but the one energy buyer is a Bitcoin miner, right? Now what happens? Well, the Bitcoin miner's like, hey, like just charge everybody else $50 a month, right? The same, charge them $50 or $60, not a month, but $50 or $60 for the energy cost, right? You can, they'll take half because that's what they need for capacity, and we'll buy the other half, right? So energy cost is chopped in half for the 100,000 residents or businesses that are part of energy buyers, and the Bitcoin miner will buy the excess capacity needed for the growth. And then they'll say, and we'll put in the contract that we will turn our rigs down at peak energy times, right? That's negotiated in the contract. So guess which town over time is going to attract more businesses and more people to them? Town B, because energy cost of $50 or $60 per energy buyer, or $100 per energy buyer, right? That the math nerds are going to pick that up in their signal eventually. Like, but it took somebody with imagination to even have the open mind to go check it out and make the investment. So it'll show up in the data eventually, but in the interim, like the visionaries who see it are going to make tons of money, and you're going to see lots of, like, a lot of the major cities were built around energy centers, right? Houston, LA, Saudi Arabia, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Midland, Odessa, Beaumont, Philadelphia, right? Lots of areas were built around energy centers. So now you have a solution, and people go, well, but why, what is Bitcoin, right? What's the benefit of Bitcoin? Why do they buy it? Well, because if you look at any civilization in any time period, you're always going to have a yin and a yang, like a balancer, right? So you have paper money and you have assets that balance paper money's irresponsible growth over time. So the industrial age, the balancer for paper money was like gold and real estate. So when the government got reckless, right, the reason why you see a lot of people borrow money and buy real estate is because in a city, whenever they get reckless, it's not that the price of real estate is going up. It's going up relative to the value of the money, right? So value of money is really going down, which makes the price of real estate go up because it's scarcer than the excess money being printed. And so that's why so many rich people throughout time and history have owned real estate to counterbalance government irresponsibility. In a digital economy where you don't have physical real estate, Bitcoin is a scarce resource that can be collateral like real estate, that can be the foundation of this digital economy to build wealth on top of it. Because you got to have a foundation to build wealth on top of it, and you got to have a foundation to balance out irresponsible money creation by centralized powers, right? So that's what Bitcoin is, right, for the digital economy, and it's going to end up flowing into the regular economy, and it's going to blend between both. So that's not a debate for anybody who is in digital, right? It's only a debate for like people doing nerd math. You know what I mean? So once you like come over here, you understand, okay, like just like real estate is a store of value of like hundreds of trillions of dollars that built up over this last 300, 400, 500 years, right? Bitcoin is going to be that for the new digital economy, right? In a world where we can live anywhere, work anywhere, on the moon, on Mars, right? Different places. It's going to be the digital foundation, scarce resource currency for that, from my perspective, and a lot of folks agree, right? And the cool thing about finance and money is money's what we believe it to be, right? What backs it? Belief, right? And who gets to decide? The market, right? You know what I'm saying? And so those who are leading the market, like, believe what I believe. So it doesn't matter what those who don't know believe, because it's just belief, right? And the biggest believers win. So my point is, nerd math won't allow you to see that, right? Only imagination does. I've helped you open it, and now you can choose to keep opening and go down a rabbit hole or not, but that's on you. But I hope that you do, so that you can help make yourself some money. Until next time, enjoy yourself.
Philip Washington Jr. is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.